Hello, and welcome to Primary Sources, a featured production of Radio Cals. Here on Primary Sources, we focus on people who are making a difference in Little Rock and Arkansas. Some you might have heard of, and some you haven't heard of, but probably want to know more about. Check out cals.org/podcasts for a free podcast of Primary Sources interviews.
Hello, this is Shelley Stormo, production manager for Primary Sources. For this episode, we're doing something a little different. The Butler Center for Arkansas Studies has a large collection of oral histories of important events and people around the state. Today, we offer you an interview with Cappy Peck, owner of Trio's Restaurant in Little Rock. Cappy grew up in the Hotel Sam Peck, owned and operated by her grandparents. The hotel is now the Legacy Hotel and Suites at the corner of Capitol and Gaines Streets. Our interviewer is Bick Satterfield, an Encyclopedia of Arkansas History and Culture author.
Good morning, Cappy.
Good morning, Bick.
Thanks for being here. We would like to know some of your memories of your grandparents when they were when they owned and operated the Hotel Sam Peck, which was a very popular place, and many residents of Little Rock, including me, have fond memories of the hotel.
I do too. Do you have a few hours? I have the best memories. It was such a treat to be able to grow up in that hotel as a little girl. I don't know if you remember the children's book Eloise. It sort of has had a resurgence in popularity, but Eloise lived at the Plaza in New York. So my grandparents always jokingly said that I was the Cappy of the Sam Peck because I wreaked havoc and did all sorts of jobs and acted like the Sam Peck was the Plaza, and it really was. It was the center of so many things in Little Rock, and that's what made me who I am today. And here I am doing a lot what my grandparents did, and it's definitely in my genes. But I have very fond memories from, I was born in 53, so from shortly after 1953 until my grandmother and dad sold it in the early 70s.
What was your grandfather like, personality-wise?
He was such a fascinating person. I was 14 when he died, so I certainly have lots of memories, very fond memories. He was, I think, perhaps the most creative person I've ever known. He was actually kind of a private man. My grandmother was the one who was very gregarious and could remember everybody's name and would greet people at the coffee shop, passing out the bran muffins at 6 in the morning downstairs. And he really liked to stay more behind the scenes. And he had quite an eye and a flair for design, although he was not a trained architect. And so the feel of the Sam Peck, really, that was all his doing. Shortly after World War II, they started traveling all over the country and then all over the world, although he hated to fly. And he would read and study and get ideas from his travels as far as cutting edge at the time, things for menu development and also for design. One of my favorite parts of the hotel is each and every room had a unique and distinct flavor. Nothing was duplicated. He would pick out the furnishings. He went through a Mexican period and traveled to Mexico, drove down and brought back all sorts of little interesting clay pots they would make chicken a la king in, and just, you know, matador suits and just all real serious Mexican face, which I also have inherited. And then just really bring back things from literally all over Europe and all over the country and share those with the residents of Little Rock. And, you know, back then that it was like a travelogue almost. And in addition to each room being unique, my dad also made these ceramic tiles. And so instead of the room numbers that are generally just, factory-made, machine-made, my dad would design and craft a ceramic square plate with a different design and a different number to identify each room. So my dad definitely inherited some of my grandfather's eye for design. Other little things that he would that my grandfather would do at the hotel. He had traveled to California a lot, and he brought back lots of ideas from the Bel Air Hotel. One of the things was this beautiful rock wall with living ferns and trickling water. I don't know if you have any memories of going to the After Five, which was the bar attached to the dining room, the terrace. I mean, it was absolutely beautiful. It was very avant-garde. There certainly wasn't anything like that in Little Rock. Now it's pretty commonplace. But he was so good at looking at something, getting ideas, and then putting a little twist or change on it, and then birding it there at the Sampac. The kiosk, for example, there was a kiosk out front, which was, you know, common on the streets of Paris and all over Europe, but I think it was the first kiosk ever in the state. And then one of my favorite food trends that he brought back, also when he was at the Bel Air, he had a Caesar salad prepared tableside. When he came back from that trip, we started having Caesar salad at the hotel, and first Caesar salad in Arkansas. And now it's just, I mean, who doesn't have a Caesar salad? But he was so creative, not just at the hotel, but he helped a lot of people around town design houses. A house that I grew up in on Grandview, it's very Frank Lloyd Wright-ish, way before its time. He was really a trendsetter. And so many people that were friends of my grandparents and my father, they're still alive, still talk about, oh, that's very Sampac-ish, or look at the chandelier, or where this staircase goes up the wall, or his interest in art, which I'll talk a little bit more when we get to Edward Durell Stone and the Annex. But he had an amazing eye, and he really was able to communicate that through design and through food.
I interviewed Jim Strawn, who was an employee in his teenage years, and he made the comment that the hotel industry was made for Sampac. And those of us who were customers of the dining room probably were more acquainted with your grandmother than with him. And she was always there and very gracious hostess. Tell us a little bit about her.
Yes, she was really the face. He was more behind the scenes. And, you know, he was born in Dallas, Texas. He grew up in Magazine. His parents had a mercantile store there called Peck's Mercantile. And he met my grandmother, who at the time was writing for one of the newspapers. They had a couple of other hotels, one in Oklahoma. They leased the Washington Hotel from the Fulbright family in Fayetteville for a number of years, and then leased the Frederica from the Alsop family before they actually bought it, I think in 41, and that's when the name changed. But my grandmother was... I mean, she was an only child. They were both only children. My father was an only child. I mean, she was remarkable. I mean, she had more impact on me than anyone, even including my father. I was kind of like the mini Anna. That's what I called her. But she, just the way she carried herself. She was wonderful with names. She could make everyone feel at home. She was... very strict and quite a disciplinarian, but so open and charming and warm. I mean, she was the face. When they first met, my grandfather was a bookkeeper at the Goldman Hotel, which was quite a famous hotel in Fort Smith. And my grandmother's father, whose name was Will Victor Cohn, he also worked at the Goldman. So the hotel part of the whole family tree goes way, way, way back. But that's sort of the mindset he had in bookkeeping details. He wanted to do the design and have the impact, but he wanted my grandmother to be the face and to do the social part of it. And she was such a stickler for detail. You know, even when I opened up Trios in 86, she was still living. And at the time, she lived across the street from the restaurant at Andover. And she would march across the street in the morning, make sure that, you know, everything was ready. The tables were clean. There were no crumbs anywhere. The napkins were folded. And the people in the kitchen, of course, I knew her. She didn't intimidate me. Were completely intrigued and intimidated by Henrietta, or we all called her Anna. And we even had a funny little kind of code sound that we would make to let us know that Anna was in the house. And we better be ready to go. And we would make this little whoop, whoop, whoop. And everybody would rush to position. But she was such a mentor for me. And she just, I mean, the hotel, that was her life. After my grandfather passed away, you know, she and my dad ran it for a number of years. But it was something that my dad really never wanted to do. He wanted to be a beatnik and ride and surf and do all of the things. So he carried it on for a while. But it was my grandmother's life. I mean, she, Judge Robert Fazell, he tells a story of once when there was an ice storm and there was no place to stay and he couldn't get home, that he slept on the sofa in my grandmother's penthouse up there in the hotel. And I mean, she was just so accommodating, and she was just so charming. And she my grandfather was really behind the scenes. He preferred it that way, I think.
Well, among my pleasant experiences, at one time my wife and I were in New York City walking down Madison Avenue, came face to face with Henrietta Peck. A very nice visit. And she was gracious enough to act as if she remembered us and knew who we were.
You know, the first trip I made to New York, I was with my grandmother. And we were standing in line to see, I think it was Hello, Dolly with Carol Channing. And this was, I think I was about 12, so this must have been 1965. And we were standing in line, and John Chancellor was behind us. And he tapped my grandmother on the shoulder and said, "Miss Peck, I don't know if you remember me." Like, she's not going to remember John Chancellor. And said, John Chancellor, and of course, all of 1957 really put the hotel on the map. But all of those, you know, national and international news people that were there to cover the Central High Crisis, you know, all had these, you know, wonderful connections and stories to tell because of my grandmother's charm and generosity and just the personal touch and the fact that the hotel was. It was so unique. It was like a boutique hotel before there were boutique hotels. It was such a special place. And now, it might not seem that way, but boy, in the 50s and 60s, there was no other place like it.
I think that's without question. Another thing, famous thing, was the Harry Reisner, CBS journalist and commentator.
Yes.
Quoted on national TV.
Yes, yes.
Tell
on
us about
60
that.
Minutes. Yeah, this I'll never forget this, because the whole family, we had gotten a heads up that the hotel might be mentioned, and it was 60 Minutes, which I think 60 Minutes is still on, and Harry Reisner was one of the featured people, and he was doing a segment on famous hotels of the world, not of the country, of the world. And he went on talking about, you know, hotels from Tokyo, Switzerland, the West, all over the world. And at the very end, he said, "I have failed to mention my absolute favorite hotel that I've ever been to, and it's the Sam Peck in Little Rock, Arkansas." Well, that was like the crowning glory. I mean, that was just the best thing that ever could have happened. And I think he meant it. And I think it was because of my grandparents. They lived there. They each person was truly a guest in their home. And, you know, I mean, they were the epitome of hospitality, genuine Southern hospitality, because there was definitely a Southern flair to it.
Was your grandfather alive when Harry Reisner's comment was made?
I wish he had been, but that was the best. That was the best moment yet, ever.
Well, you said that you spent a lot of time at the hotel. Tell us about the jobs you had.
I had a lot of jobs. The way the schedule worked, even my grandparents lived on the penthouse, and it was a place also Winthrop Rockefeller lived, and various movie stars, and lots of colorful history there. But every other night, my dad would be on duty. And so I grew up in the Heights in a house designed by my grandfather. And so every other night of my existence, from my earliest memories up through high school, I would be at the hotel with my dad. My sisters take their homework, and I would, you know, play in the kitchen and help garnish plates and mostly just get into trouble. But so I spent lots and lots and lots of time there. When I got a little bit older, I don't even think I was driving yet, I would sometimes just check into a room for a couple of weeks and under my grandmother's very watchful eye, and learn things like how to run the mimeograph machine. I can still remember that smell. It was so intense. That purple ink, and it just reeked. The entire second floor, which was where bookkeeping and printing was, smelled like that. I'll never get rid of that smell. Learn to do the menus, run the mimeograph machine. Sometimes I would go to housekeeping, help make beds. That was my least favorite thing to do. My favorite thing was running the switchboard. And it was one of those really old-fashioned switchboards with all of the cords that plugged in. And I loved being the front desk clerk and the switchboard operator, and calling each person and giving them a wake-up call. It wasn't automated. You personally did that, and not getting confused when the switchboard would start ringing and plug the wrong end into the wrong hole. And it was just, I felt like I was just the luckiest kid in the world to be able to do those sorts of things. And then, of course, in the kitchen, never really got to cook. It was an intimidating place. And those people were pretty strict, and the most I was ever really allowed to do would be to cut lemons and garnish plates. Garnishing back then was not like it is now, with reductions and compotes and coulis. It was basically a sprig of parsley. But I became very adept at putting that sprig of parsley on those plates just right. And there were two women that ran the banquets at the hotel. Their names were Opal and Ruby. I don't know their last names, but gemstone names. And they were tough cookies. And I don't think they were always glad that I was back there to, quote, help. But they were very patient with me. I loved to help Maddie Jackson, who ended up working for me for 10 years. They called her the salad girl, and she would make all of the salads and the aspics, and she did a lot of the desserts. She's the reason we still have Peck salad, because nobody wrote any recipes down then. I would give anything if I had a recipe book, and my dad was alive when I opened the Sam Peck. So was my grandmother. She cooked about three things. She didn't have to cook. She just went downstairs and ate. But I connected with Maddie in a very interesting way. Because she made the Peck's dressing, she remembered that, and the remoulade sauce and the chicken salad and the bean cherry jello and some of those legacy items that are still on the menu today. But she was sweet. She would let me help from time to time. And she worked for my grandparents for 28 years. And then we just accidentally connected within the first week that I opened Trios. She wasn't looking for me, and I wasn't looking for her. And she gave me a call and said, "Cappy, I don't know if you remember me. I'm Maddie Jackson." And she practically raised me. She said, "I hear you're opening up a restaurant. Could I come work for you?" And I just fell to the floor and wept and said, "Of course." So she ended up working for me for 10 years until she was in her early 70s and retired. But my favorite job, switchboard operator. Yeah, I loved it.
But obviously you developed a love for food and restaurant business.
I did. I learned to shuck oysters with my dad. My father was actually a pretty good cook, and my grandfather had a really good palate. He was able to, travel places and try things. And this is something I still do. I go on these R&D trips, and I honestly go and try to recreate things that I've had other places. And so that's what my grandfather did. My dad was really good at tweaking things in the kitchen, but none of them were back there, you know, slinging food like I do now. And in fact, when I opened Trios in 86, my father and grandmother were alive, and they really tried to talk me out of it. They said that the hardest part of the hotel business was the food end. People will steal from you, and it's headache, and, you know, it won't make any money, and big mistake, don't do it, which, you know, just made me want to do it even more. But I was very happy that I did it and became successful so they could see it, and they were both so proud. And the first year that I was open, my dad actually worked for me. He's actually on the payroll for about a year. He was a horrible employee, too. He was horrible. Cappy, the wind is blowing today, so I'm going to go up to Heber Springs and windsurf. That's something that he learned to do. And what are you going to tell your dad? No, you got to come in and, you know, make fruit salad. But so anyway, he was a horrible employee.
Well, there's a lot of information available about the Frederica Hotel and Sam Peck. Information I have seen indicated that your grandfather purchased the hotel in 1938, but you said he leased it.
He leased it at first, yes.
And then he bought it in 1941.
Yes. And that's, my dad wrote this little, I'm not sure what you would call this, it's a little like 50-page manuscript. So I'm able to go back and get some of the specific dates there. And apparently, like, they leased the Washington Hotel, which was on the square in Fayetteville, they leased the Frederica as well. And then when the purchase was complete, that's when they changed the name.
I see. And that same year, or the same time period, is when he added on and hired the famous architect.
Right, Edward Durrell Stone, who was also from Fayetteville. And he and my grandfather, and I did not know Ed Stone, but they must have been kindred spirits, because from what I hear from people that were around back in those days, they were inseparable and would sit on the penthouse or out at on the little pond where I live now, and, you know, sketch on a napkin design concepts for someone's home or, you know, one of his projects at UAMS. The annex at the time was, again, very avant-garde. There was nothing like that in the state. It was, I think, called the international style or sort of Art Deco. It was really something special and something unique. And they became fast friends. And it was actually Ed Stone who got my grandfather interested in modern art and modern art as an investment. And do you know the story of the Alexander Calder Mobile?
No.
He, you know, the Alexander Calder was, again, somebody way ahead of his time. And Ed Stone had heard of one of his pieces called Autumn Leaves that was for sale for, I think, $1,500. This was in 1958, which was nothing. I mean, these organic shapes, metal shapes, in primary colors, not too huge. But my grandfather bought it. It hung in my grandparents' penthouse for a number of years and then went on to my father. But he purchased that, and then he started really getting interested in other things, primarily represented through Pearl's Gallery in New York. They represented Mr. Calder. And so on one trip that my father and grandparents took to New York, they went into Pearl's Gallery, and they purchased a small Georges Braque painting, an original, and a Juan Moreau painting for like $3,000. Yeah, I wish I would have been on that trip. And then held on to it. I've got some pictures of their penthouse with both of those pictures in it. Later on, sold those two pieces for $45,000. And that's how they built the motel in 1960. So anyway, Ed Stone had a huge impact on my grandfather. In some of the homes around Little Rock that my grandfather designed, it's very apparent.
Later on, a motel addition, motel type hotel was added in the back. Did Stone also design that?
He did not design that. He designed the annex, but he definitely had a hand in that. And that was built in 1960, and that was because of, you know, it was a motor inn. You know, everybody was motoring all over town, and there was a, it was raised up so you could park literally underneath it. And in fact, my sister, my youngest sister, who was born in 1960, my grandfather's nickname for her was Motella. She hated that, but I thought it was pretty funny. But it was the annex, it was really innovative construction. The motel is more functional, and it doesn't have the flair that the annex did. But the annex was finished, I think, in 1941, actually on Pearl Harbor Day, which actually happened to be my grandfather's birthday. And then 19 years later, the motel was added. At the same time that the annex was designed, the penthouses went on top of the hotel, because those did not exist initially. It was five stories, so that made it six stories, and that's where, you know, Winthrop Rockefeller lived while his home and ranch and Pettijean was being built. I think that was from 53 to 55 or 55 to 57, and then that's where some of the movie stars stayed when Burt Reynolds and Bruce Dern and Shelley Winters. We got the Little Rock's foray into filmmaking was going on in the 60s or so. The penthouses were, again, they were absolutely beautiful. That's where my grandparents lived, and I spent a lot of time up there.
You've been listening to Primary Sources on Radio CALS, a production of the Central Arkansas Library System, its Arkansas History Department, the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies, and the CALS Communications and Public Relations Department. For more information, please visit cals.org and butlercenter.org. Our producer is Glenn Whaley. Production manager is Shelley Stormo. Voices by Jasmine Jobe and John Miller. Engineering and editing by Anna Lancaster and Shelley Stormo. Our executive producers are Leanne Blackwell-Hoskin and David Strickland.